Okay, everyone, I have got a treat for you right now, and long-standing friend, Alistair and Marie Petrie, up here visiting with us. And Alistair, welcome to Spirit FM.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's great to have you in here and sharing with me at the station and sharing with the listeners out there. Some of you out there listening probably remember Alistair from way back. I'd been to Campbell River in the late 90s, early 2000s, and ministry about taking the land, really, mm-hmm. about all the various spiritual issues on the land. And but I first met you. You were quite involved with the transformation videos
yep.
that some people would yep. remember from way back. George Otis Jr. in the 90s, I guess it was all in the 90s,
yep.
Produced these videos. But you were doing much of the research for that.
We did basically all the research internationally. We had an interesting shift around about 1998. We had 200 cities around the world where we would say at some level in those cities, socially, politically, culturally, spiritually, economically, there was a portion that we would say was in transformation. By about 2001, that had changed to 2000 cities.
Wow. Wow. And by transformation, we're talking about revival.
You're seeing
when the culture is altered by the kingdom.
You're seeing basically the culture of the city and every aspect of the city reflects something of the culture of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Where issues at what I call the access points, whether it's academia, whether it's legal, whether it's media, whether it's armed forces, if they're there, economics and so on, you
government,
see something has shifted.
Yeah.
And you see people in areas of authority who really do come to Christ, their position, their posture, their culture, their influence shifts their area. So think about it as a city where all the components of a city, whether it's 2,500 or 22.5 million, and they're there, whether you see the shift coming within a year or two. Well, that's the part of prayer, but there's other components. So
just before you get into that part, what's interesting, I've been talking about something that people seem with Lance Wall now, the Seven Mountains. He talked same idea, except it's sort of very
similar.
Deliberate application.
Yeah.
And that was, I guess, even before then, wasn't it? Bill Bright and I can't remember.
Lauren Cunningham.
Had written books on it, you know. But same idea.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, though, it gets erupting somehow.
The thing is, you can do all that, but you have to steward it.
Yeah.
What we were doing was more specific, strategic, zeroing in on three questions, like we did in Campbell River. Why are things the way they are? Number two, how did they get like that?
Yeah.
And number three, what are we going to do about it? Most people start with the what, but actually the what comes later. You have to diagnose, you have to understand, you have to go behind the scenes to see, like in a radio station or a TV station, my favorite metaphor, people out there or listening in can hear or can see.
Right.
But if you really want to meet Terry Somerville, you really want to get a hold of this, what we're doing here at this moment, come into the broadcast studio, come behind the scenes and see the operation. Well, I'm looking at the operation in here. Well, that's what we were doing in transformation. We're going behind the scenes, investigation, research, which then really releases informed prayer. Because then you're praying with an understanding. And you're not darting at things. Not that that's wrong, like throwing darts, but you're being specific, strategic, hands-on. You're having people who are affiliated with that area of responsibility, whose prayer is more exacting because they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I call it sphere of influence.
Absolutely, sphere of influence. And then you begin to steward it, guard, keep, occupy. And here's the sobering fact. I can give you statistics on how things were going up to, say, about the year 2020, just pre-COVID. Very interesting. When people stop stewarding, that's guarding, keeping, occupying, keeping their place clean of that which God does not want, it begins to recede. It is what Jesus says, be careful, keep that inside of the cup cleansed, don't just look at the outside, or the spirits come back seven times more, which means there's an aggravation factor.
Yeah.
And people then get mesmerized, they get distracted, they lose the exacting prayer, because they haven't guard kept occupied. We would have had globally by now hundreds of thousands of communities, much more in Christ, if people hadn't just tried to, well, we'll pray it into being. That's great. But the rest of Scripture is guard, keep, occupy, steward, you know, good, be really good keepers of the terrain. And that's the issue that we're finding today globally. There are major breakthroughs in areas of persecution. My big area right now is you're sharing with me about Joshua, and I love that motif, particularly in Joshua 5. Well, whose side are you on? Well, actually, you got to be on the Lord's side.
Yep,
he can use all aspects, even of the enemy. Isaiah 54, he created even the enemy. Strangely enough, he can use those for his advantage if we understand, you know, the way that the Lord does his strategy.
I like what Joshua is, that God says, I've given you the land, but they still had to go in and follow his plan and you know,
and
it was very detailed in
the
case.
Because there were certain times he said, don't go there, you can go there. I prepared that for you. You don't have government authority there yet.
And the same thing in the New Testament with the book of Acts. There you see Paul and Silas, that the Holy Spirit would not allow us to go into Bithynia.
Right.
Or the other. There was two places.
Yeah.
And then the third place where it says that Satan prevented them.
Yep.
And then they hit the place that God wants them.
That's right.
So it's interesting.
And we can do ministry at the wrong time where God hasn't really gone ahead of us. I like to know he's gone ahead. I was hearing you sharing when I was coming into the studio about the armor of God. And I love that. It's something that Marie and I tend to just pray, not mechanically, but each day. And when we get into the shield of faith, there are four components I love. One, scripturally, he's the forerunner. He's gone ahead of us. Two, he's the rear guard, Exodus 14, where he's gone, he's behind us. He prohibits the Egyptian mentality coming back. We don't want to go back to three hots and a cot. In other words, we could. There's comfort in bondage, but it's very negative comfort. He's also our foundation.
Yeah.
And he's also the ceiling. He's the overseer. So when we pray the shield of faith around an entity, a city, people, we love praying that the Lord's shield is, in fact, his faithfulness guarding, keeping, and occupying us.
Yep.
Well, that's his stewardship of our lives. So
it's
interesting. But what I was going to say is we see the emerging of something globally.
Yes. There's a shift in the church underway,
and
for sure.
It is for us. It's the emerging of the remnant church. And I'm teaching more and more on that. Now, we were talking, you and me, a little bit about our physical pains a little while ago and how God deals with that. Two things for me. I had to get a new office chair recently. I just found out with my hip issue, and I'm just not as mobile as I used to be. Posture and position. Man, Terry, are they absolutely on God's agenda? And if I go back to an old posture the way I used to, the pain comes. No, don't slouch, Alistair. This is a new day of positioning, a new posture. And COVID, in fact, now watch my words carefully, was actually used by God in a profound way to reveal in the church what was no longer of him necessary.
Yes.
Remove the surplus, remove the chaff, remove those issues of religiosity so that we renewed our dependence on him.
Of course, the way he was doing it was by upsetting everything and exposing stuff.
Well,
so that we'd go, wait a minute, why am I acting this ungodly way? Or why am I in fear?
67% of churches in North America closed up forever. Why? Because...
Oh, forever?
Forever.
What do you mean they never reopened?
They never reopened. Because old systems, old mentality, old ways of fundraising were no longer on God's agenda. Now, they had to reposition some of them and go elsewhere, start new, start afresh, start with a new name. Because systems and structures, God was saying, I don't need that.
Yeah.
And here's the key thing. What are you most in love with? The work of the Lord or the Lord of the work?
Yeah.
Because if the work of the Lord is your modus operandi, your default, actually that's a gentle form of idolatry.
Yeah.
Whereas God said, stop that. That's naughty, Alistair. I have to be Lord of every component, even of what you do.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What you do matters little to me if I'm not regulating what you're supposed to be doing.
That's it.
So the 67% actually went up to 87%.
So what do you mean by that? I mean, like Campbell River, I'm not aware of any church that closed and didn't reopen. They all did, as far as
right
I know.
Right across Canada, some of the smaller churches, the smaller fellowships, all across the states. I was talking North America.
Oh, my goodness.
Just closed down. And because they had no funds left, they didn't know how to go on air. They didn't know how to do online work. And for them, for some people, what are we doing this for?
Yeah,
some repositioned. Some, there were new church fellowships,
right.
You know, filled in the gap. But it was a very sobering statistic because people were very inclined to doing the work of the Lord, but they didn't actually check in with Him at the levels of what we said in Transformation Days. We still are in that but for ourselves, but humility comes first. Washing the feet, picking up the towel, don't throw in the towel. Secondly comes holiness.
Yeah.
Be like me, Jesus says. Yahweh said the same thing. Thirdly, relational unity, not a unity of unanimity thinking.
That was very,
see, today...
Not groupthink.
No, today there's division in unity. Matthew 10 says there has to be. As the light of Christ shines on this day and age, more division is coming. Out of that comes integrity, which means you and I are what we say we are. It's going to be made known. Then transparency. Jesus said, He has seen me, has seen the Father. That's why COVID was used by God to reveal the unnecessaries. Then comes what we call vertically inclined, where the Lord tells His people what He wants us to pray for, not what we think with our limited perspective, what we should be praying for, because we see in part. Then comes strategically, that vertically inclined prayer becomes horizontally informed. Then horizontally, we put it here on earth, what the Lord is showing us. And then we have what's called a strategically timed power encounter. So those would be the seven steps back in initial transformation days. There still are. They still are what we would say.
From the videos we were talking about.
From the videos, but also from working with cities around the world. And it's very interesting. Those are principles that seem never to be subject to being voided because of time.
It's
just that we shift and change. You know, and on my posture, I began to do things out of, that's my habit. That's the way I do things. I pray this way. I can write a book this way. I can do that. And we lost what I call in that book that I'm just showing you. They're called In Holy Fear. We found that every move of God that's really an authentic, sustainable move has the fear of the Lord right at the forefront. So when I say to people, when did you last speak on the fear of the Lord? I mean, teach on it, preach on it. Well, it's just a known thing, Alistair. No, it's not. Most people don't know what that is. And you look at Joshua 24, you look at all the gamuts in the Old and the New Testaments, nobody did anything unless the fear of the Lord preceded the process. So that gets back to what we're just talking about. And that's why if you look at the three basics of awesomeness, resistance of evil, and total obedience, then you can see why the New Testament church formed and fashioned with posture and position so quickly. And that's why God uses things like COVID to shake us out of that anesthesia thinking where you don't have a fear of the Lord. You've got to, I've got a fear of not getting things done in time. That's not what I'm talking about. So it's very interesting that God, we believe in the remnant church. God is restoring something.
When we had our outpouring of the Spirit in 92, whatever it was before the Toronto blessing, at the Foursquare church here.
Yeah.
We'd done certain things to set things in order
at
the church. There'd been sin and stuff that defiled the church, and we went through orderly repentance and everything else. But we weren't expecting the outpouring. And what happened was God showed up, but if somebody would say, what was it like? I mean, it was like intensity of God coming, but my own reaction was fear. It wasn't like – it was almost – he was so there, it was almost terrifying, but not in an unholy way. It was like – God, I don't want to do anything except what you say.
That is the fear of the Lord. It's when we're filling in the gaps, like in radio, we used to have, I got 3 seconds of silence. I'm going to get the demerit mark. You know what? The silence of God is so incredibly powerful. But in the real moves of God, when we were studying the Hebrides and the Welsh Revival and the Great Awakenings and others we've been to in the terrain at least, this issue of holy fear people would go about in silence, not knowing what to do. They didn't want to speak, didn't want to do, anything for fear, not in intimidation fear, but for fear of in any way idolatrizing something of the Lord. Yep. And they wanted to know what he was wanting. It's a very interesting thing about this fear of the Lord.
And I'd say if there was a mark in our church at that time for, went on for a year, was weeping.
Yeah.
There was so much weeping in the congregation all the time in the presence of God. Yeah. And, you know, you had other times when there's laughing and everything. But no, it was weeping and it was amazing.
If I was to look at the chart, that I felt God had on his wall, if I'm just using a simple metaphor, and I've really puzzled about this for the last few years, what exactly have you been doing with your people before your return? I would say, first of all, that he has very much been revealing darkness by intensifying light. Real spiritual warfare, simply put, is the light of Christ shining on hidden areas and revealing what's in these crevices that trip us up.
Yep.
And we find the scripture, look at Hebrews 4, look at Hebrews 12, but Hebrews 4, the word of God. And that is a two-edged affair. But the word of God cuts, divides, reveals. But it's all about the revelation of what's hidden and the light of Christ shedding intensity. Yeah. You look at the Matthew 10, you look at various scriptures. Well, if I watch post-COVID, it's really been a course of the light of Christ revealing into the lives of people what's going on. Habits, entitlement, lawlessness.
Yeah.
One of the biggest issues we've found has been this issue of human rights. Well, do you know that in the Bible, it might be God calling.
It's my wife calling, actually.
Do you know that in the Bible, there is no such thing as human rights? The only right is the right to become a child of God. But there are human values.
Yeah.
Human values are the characteristics of God he exudes in us.
Yeah.
Human rights are actually man-made ways and devices of saying, I've got my right, I can be offended, I can do this, I can do that, and that's even in the church.
I would preach that all the way through COVID on the radio. I'd say,
there you go.
I'd say, if you're a Christian, you gave up your rights
to
Christ. He'll defend your rights.
Absolutely.
Don't you take it up.
It's our values. Yeah, yeah. So I find it in the remnant church, it's the revelation of this value of what's coming up.
You know what? We're gonna break here, Alistair, and we'll come back tomorrow.
Nice to see you.
Maybe just where can people connect with you or get the books and stuff?
Our website's www.partnershipministries.org.
It's ministries with an S.
With an S. You can get our podcast, our news updates. You can get our resources and see what we're up to. That's what we're doing.
Okay. So there we go.
Great to see you.
Alistair Petrie in with us. And we're going to try and do another one here in a minute. Hopefully we can.